Morning, everybody. Today's daf in Menachos Daf Nun Ches. Let's get underway.
Mem Ches.
Nun. Okay, we're back on Nun Zayin Amud Aleph, and start from the very bottom of Nun Zayin Amud Aleph. Let's do this again from the two dots. V'hashta d'nafka le'mikol amincha asher takriv olam ali. So the Gemara asks the following question. We have a pasuk that we quoted yesterday. It says asher takriv olam Hashem lo se'aseh chametz. Anything which is offered to Hashem, it can't be made to chametz. We've been speaking now for the past number of days about the issur of chametz. You cannot make any mincha into chametz. The exception which we're going to talk about today at length is going to be the shtei alechem, the two loaves that are brought on Shavuos, but otherwise you can't make a mincha into chametz. It's an issur in the Torah, it's a lav in the Torah. We talked about the uniqueness of this lav. One of the unique features of this lav is that you can be chayv and you can be chayv again. In other words, we have concepts of ein bishol achar bishol and ein afiyah achar afiyah, but in the world of chametz, yesh chametz achar chametz, the chametz process can continue even after the chametz process has been done. Okay, so there's this issur of allowing a mincha to become chametz. The Torah, however, when the Torah phrases it, it uses a pasuk which is a little bit strange. The pasuk says, "Kol mincha asher takriv la Hashem," any mincha which is offered to Hashem. And from the pasuk, it sounds like the only iser of chametz is only the parts that are going to actually go on the mizbeach. It says asher takriv la Hashem. Now we know that's not true. In the Gemara yesterday, on the back end of Nun Zayin Amud Aleph, says that that's not accurate. The issur of chametz is for every part of the mincha, both the komets, the part that's going up onto the mizbech, and the shirayim and the remainder as well. We know that's the case. Then the Gemara quoted Psukim yesterday, and we darshan Psukim, and we know that's not true. Okay, so now that we know that that's not true, but what are we going to do with the pasuk? The pasuk sounds like only the parts that are going on the mizbech are subject to chametz. So that's where we start today. That's the question that we start off today. Hashta denafka lemi kol amincha asher takrivu lamali. So what do I do with the pasuk where the pasuk seems to indicate the iser is limited only to the parts that go on the mizbeach? Mi bayle lechet detayin. So the Gemara says we're going to do things with the pasuk. Notably, asher takrivu larabos mincha sasachem lechim asiv Rav Yosi Aglili. We start off with the position of Rav Yosi Aglili, which says that the iser of chametz is even for nesachim. Right? I described this yesterday. Together with every carbon, you have nesachim. Not every carbon, but most carbonos, you have nesachim. Nesachim are, in English, translated as libations. And there are two components to the nesachim. There's the wine that's poured on the top of the mizbeach, and there's the flour and the oil. Now, these nesachim, right, as I mentioned yesterday, we don't view them as a mincha. We don't perceive them so much as a mincha. We don't call them mincha, although occasionally they're called mincha. Sometimes the Mishnah uses the terms minchas nesachim, but we don't view them as a mincha, but in essence they are. It's flour and it's oil. So Rav Yosi Aglili says that the iser of chametz applies to these as well. All right, Dibur Rav Yosi Aglili, that's Rav Yosi Aglili's opinion. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Arabos Lechem, Apon Lechimotzen, Rabbi Kiva says no. What we're going to do with the pasuk is we're going to teach it for Lechem Aponim. Lechem Aponim. The 12 loaves of bread that are placed on the Shulchan in the Beis HaMikdash. It's placed there on Shabbos. It stays there over the course of the week. It's taken off the table on Shabbos, replaced with new loaves for the next week, eaten by the Kohanim, divided between last week's Mishmar and this coming week's Mishmar, 6 and 6 or 5 and 7. The Lechem Aponim is subject also to the Isser of Chametz. You cannot allow the Lechem Aponim to be Chametz. So it's 12 loaves of what we call bread, but it's really 12 loaves of matzah. Okay, thick matzah. Minchas Nesachim, so the Gemara says, let's go over these two positions over here. There's an Isser of Chametz when it comes to the Nesachim, at least according to Rabbi Yosi Aglili, and there's an Isser of Chametz of the Lechem Aponim, at least according to Rabbi Akiva. So, Minchas Nesachim Eperasim. So the Gemara says, can we think about this for just a moment? Our minchas nesachim is mei peros, meaning that there's no water added to it whatsoever. It's just a combination of flour and oil. Oil doesn't cause chametz. Oil, the Gemara says, is mei peros. It's fruit juice, right? It's, you know, you don't think of oil in terms of fruit juice, but it is. The olive is a fruit, and that which expressed out of it is the juice. It's a fruit juice.
Olives are fruit.
Yeah.
By the way, did you figure out the problem that Tosfos, with the Tosfos we had from the last page, where he says that the reason why Meperes makes chametz is because it fits with water? And now it's saying if you add Meperes, it's
right. So I mentioned already, Tosfos is pretty strong in his position that the fruit juice and flour doesn't turn into chametz at all.
At all, even with water.
No. If water is added, so then it will.
Because here it sounds like that the. Okay.
Okay.
It becomes more potent because chametz actually when you add fruit juice to water.
Right. But the fruit juice alone together with flour, according to Tosfos, does not make chametz, and that really is a simple pshat in our Gemara. The simple pshat in our Gemara is may peres ain machmitzim. It doesn't turn into chametz. So the Gemara now wants to know. So what's happening? You're telling me that nesachim can't. You're not allowed to turn the nesachim into chametz. But the Gemara says, but it's not going to happen. Because nesachim is a combination of flour and fruit juice, and flour and fruit juice doesn't turn into chametz. Or may peres and machmitzim. So Amar Shlakish Omer Hayar Rav Yosef Glilim Minchas Nesachim Megabla B'mayim Ukshera. So in solution to this, so the Gemara says, well, you know, Rav Yosef Glili, he does say that you can add water to the Minchas Nesachim. Okay. So and once you're adding water, so water now is the recipe to create chametz. So. It could very well be that is the solution to the problem of Minchas Nesachim.
So what is the difference between Minchas and Nesachim? I don't understand.
Nesachim, they are different. A Mincha is offered by itself. A Mincha is an independent karban. And Nesachim is offered in conjunction with a karban. Okay. But in
the
terms...
The substance, right?
The thing. Okay.
Oh, the oil.
Wait. Yeah. Sorry, wait. Okay. It's okay. All right, so okay, that is the Gemara's first response to the question of how can Nesachim even become chametz? Lechem upon him. So the Gemara says, okay, now let's go to the other side, which is Rabbi Akiva. Lechem upon him, midas yavishi. Okay, let's talk now about the lechem upon him. The lechem upon him, according to Rabbi Akiva, as presented to us in this last brisa, says that you cannot allow the lechem upon him to turn into chametz. So the Gemara says, lechem upon him is midas yavish. First of all, how is it measured? It's only measured in a dry measurement. Okay, why? Why is lechem upon him only measured in a dry measurement? So because by lechem upon him there is no oil. Lechem upon him is just simply flour and water. Okay, how much water? No set amount. Meaning as needed, as required. But there is no measurement. No, we're never going to measure out the water. The only thing that gets measured out is the amount of oil. But there's no oil that goes into the lechem upon him. Okay, so the only thing that we're going to be using. That's correct.
Just water
and flour. So the Gemara says, so now, it's going to be a technical problem. It's going to be a super technical problem. But the issue basically goes like this. Now it comes out by the lechem upon him, the only measuring cup I'm going to be using is a dry measuring cup. We've spoken about this before. In the Beis HaMikdash, you had dry measuring cups and liquid measuring cups. Right? Why were they different? Because they were different amounts. Meaning by the dry measuring cup, it was the Torah only talks about one dry measurement, and that's called the Isaron, a tenth of an Eifah. An Eifah is made up of 432 eggs. A tenth of an Eifah is 43.2 volumes of egg. That's the Isaron, that's the dry measuring cup, and that's all they ever needed in the Beis HaMikdash was just the Isaron to measure dry. There is a measurement cup of Chatzi Isaron, but that's only to help divide the Kohen Gadol's daily mincha, right? The minchas chavitim, which we talked about previously. So for there we have the chatzi isaron, but that's only to divide his mincha into two parts, into halves. Machatzisa baboker, machatzisa ba'erev. But generally speaking, all you had is the isaron. Okay, there's going to be a major debate, and we're going to spend a good part of this Amud of Gemara talking about it. Did it, meaning the isaron measuring cup, did it actually get nimshach? Was it anointed? Okay, what's the question? Well, it's really going to be based on psukim. I don't know if I can give any type of svar, any type of rationale to the debate whatsoever. But the point is that if in fact the Isaron measuring cup is nimshach, if it's anointed, it is a kli sharis. And so what? It's
a kli sharis. It is a discussion.
Huh?
Now, how does it affect this the whole discussion?
So if it's a kli sharis, Anything that goes inside of it is going to be imbued with Kedusha Saguf. It will be given intrinsic Kedusha. If it's not a Kli Sharis, so the Lachem Apanim will not be imbued with Kedusha Saguf as long as it's in the measuring stages, in the baking stages. Okay? That's just a heads up for things to come.
What's the connection to this discussion?
Okay, so give me a moment. Okay, hopefully we'll explain. So lechem upon midas yavish. V'shaman leil Rabbi Akiva d'amr midas yavish lo nizkacha. And Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion that midas yavish is lo nizkacha. Is not imbued with kedusha. So what bothers the Gemara now is that there is this iser of not being mechametz a mincha. And we're saying, based on the pasuk, that's referring to some other type of mincha. And according to Rabbi Akiva, it's coming to include the lechem apanim. But the Gemara now is bothered by the following. It sounds like this prohibition of not making it chametz is even while you're preparing it, even while you're making it. According to Rabbi Akiva, while you're making it, it doesn't have a shame mincha. It's not yet a mincha. It will be once we bake it. The oven is a Kli Sharis. And once we put it on the table for sure is a Kli Sharis. The Shulchan is a Kli Sharis. But prior to that stage, it's not. It's bread, right? Unleavened bread. But it's not Lechem Aponim. It doesn't get the status of Lechem Aponim. When the Braisa says, ooh, you're not allowed to make the Lechem Aponim into Chametz, it sounds like even at the preparation stage. But according to Rabbi Akiva, at the preparation stage, it doesn't have Kedusha Saguf. Okay, so the Gemara is...
It could become Chametz then?
Yes, meaning...
So if it becomes Chametz then...
If it becomes Chametz, and then you bake in the oven, so then you'll violate the Isser. But while you're preparing it, there's no Isser because it's not a Mincha. It's not yet a Mincha at that point in time. So the Gemara says, so Vishamala Rabbi Kiva Damar Midas Yavishlanas Kasha. Okay, so this is a question that really bothers the Gemara to the point in which the Gemara says, you know, I don't have a solution. Shalach Mishmei, Shalach Rav and Mishmei to Rabbi Yochanan, Kachi Yatzah Shal Mishnah. So they went back to Eretz Yisrael, Ravin, one of our frequent flyers, so he carries himself back to Eretz Yisrael. He gets a tradition from Rabbi Yochanan and he passes the tradition along to the Balei HaGemara of Bavel, and he says, you almost got it right. Almost. Kachi Atzah Shal Mishnah. This is how we're going to present the Mishnah. The Epoch. We're going to redo the entire Braisa that we saw in the bottom of the previous Amud, but we're going to flip it. And it's going to go like this. Asher Tekriva L'Rabbos Lachem Apanim L'Chimutz Divrei Rabbi Yosef Glili. Okay. So Asher Tekriva, what is that coming to include? According to Rabbi Yosef Glili, it's coming to include the Lechem Apanim. Okay, good. So all we did now is just simply take the Rabbi Yosef Glili and assign him to the Lechem Apanim. And that's good. Why? Because according to Rabbi Yosef Glili, the Isarun measuring cup has Kedusha Saguf. And now that means that the moment that you measure the flour for the Lechem Apanim, it now has imbued with Kedusha Saguf. It's now subject to the Isar of, don't make it Chametz. Good. And Rabbi Kiva, Amel Rabbos, Menchas L'Sachem, and according to Lechim, it's according to Rabbi Kiva, it's coming to talk about the Menchas L'Sachem, vis-a-vis the Isar of Chametz. V'azor Rabbi Yochanan L'Tamid, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yosef Glili, V'echa Mitamid, Rabbi Shmuel, Amru Davar Echad, Rabbi Yosi HaGlili, together with one of the students of Rabbi Shmuel, Umanu, and can we identify that student, Rabbi Yoshia, Ditanya, I'm sorry, Amru Davar Echad, they said the same thing, which is, Ditanya, Willantan, Braisa, Vayim Shechem, Vayikada, Shosam. And they anointed them and they sanctified them. Rabbi Yoshia Omer, Midas Halach, Nimshach, Meimim, Bifnim, Meimim, Bechutz. When it comes to Midas Halach, the wet measuring cups, meaning the measuring cups that are used to measure liquid. So they were anointed both inside and outside. There was an anointing oil that made them Kli Sharis. And when it comes to Midas Halach, it was anointed both on the inside and on the outside. Why did it have to be anointed?
What do you mean inside and outside?
Meaning that when they spritzed it with the Shemin HaMishcha, with the anointing oil, they spritzed it both internally and externally.
Oh, I see. The outer surface.
Right. The inner surface area and the outer surface area. Now, why the outer surface area? Quite frankly, I don't know. I don't know why the outer surface area. Okay. But anyway, So inside, both inside and outside, midas lach nimshach mei b'fnim mei b'chutz, and midas yavesh nimshachu b'fnim ve'in nimshachu mei b'chutz. And according to Rav Yoshia, student of Rabbi Shmuel, in conjunction with Rav Yosef Lili, both maintain that the measuring cup for the Isaron was nimshach, it was anointed. So now the Isaron measuring cup has the status of a klisharis. All this means that when I measure flour in it, the flour now has kedushas haguf. It's imbued with intrinsic sanctity. All the rules of karban apply the moment that you start measuring for the mincha. Notably, in our discussion, the iser of not allowing it to turn into chametz. Rav Yonasan omer midas halach nimshachu b'mefnim v'nimshachu b'mechutz. Rav Yonasan drops everything down one level. According to Rav Yonasan, your liquid measuring cups, your log, your chatzi log, your revias halog, all your liquid measuring cups. So, they are nimshach, anointed internally on the inside of the cup, but not on the outside of the cup. And midas yavesh lo nimshachu kol ikar, and the midas yavesh, nothing, not nimshach at all. Teda lecha, and Rabbi Yonasan says, let me make this point even clearer. Sharei emikajos shastich simi moshe sechem tavi lechem tenufa shteim shnei asronim sol tiyenu chametz teafenu bikurim laHashem. Right? Hopefully you'll hear it. You'll hear this week. So the pasuk says that from all your moshavos you're going to bring lechem to nufa. You're going to bring bread. This is talking about the shtei lechem bar shavuos. Shaim shnei esrei nimsalos tiena chametz tefen bikurim l'Hashem emes lahein l'Hashem. When do they belong to Hashem? When are they property of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? La'acha shenefu, after they're baked. What does that mean, after they're baked? Didn't you measure it in a measuring cup? And the answer is yes, you did. And included in that answer is, according to Rabbi Yonasan, the measuring cup does not have kedusha, is not a kli sharis, and therefore doesn't imbue the flour with kedusha saguf. The Gemara is going to give a little more depth in terms of our understanding of this machlokas, whether the measuring cup is in fact nimshach or not nimshach. But I'm going to forewarn you that the further elucidation, the further clarification of the Gemara is just more drashas, meaning it's not really svar, it's not going to be a rational explanation, it's just going to be how to darshan psukim, it's going to be a technical discussion. But ma'ika miflagi ba'osam, the Gemara says that the machlokas over here is how to understand the word osam. We go back to the pasuk that the Gemara quoted a little bit earlier. Vayim shechem, vayikadesh osam. That they were anointed and he sanctified them. Whenever you see the word osa, osam, it's a miut, it's a limitation. We are coming to exclude something. Rabbi Yoshia, savra osam lamuti midas yavish b'chutz. According to Rabbi Yoshia, yeah, we are excluding the outside of the dry measuring cup, notably the yisarot. Rabbi Yonasan savra midas yavish kolhu. Rabbi Yonasan says, look, the midas yavish, it's not even a klisha race. The Torah is not going to address it simply because it's not even a klisha race. So now we have the word osam. It's coming to exclude. It's not talking about the midas yavish because that's not even a klisha race. It's not even in the discussion. So therefore, the only thing left to leave out, to exclude, is going to be the outside of the liquid measuring cups. Okay, so basic machlokas amongst the Tanayim, whether or not the midas hayavish, the dry measuring cup, which is the isaron measuring cup, was nimshach, was in fact imbued with, transformed into a kli sharis. So Rabbi Yoshia says it was. Rabbi Yonasan says it was not. Rabbi Akiva apparently sides with the Rabbi Yonasan's viewpoint. And therefore, when I prepare my mincha, and I measure out the flour for a mincha, and I'm usually using the Isaron measuring cup, I'm almost always using the Isaron measuring cup, so now comes out, there's going to be a basic machlokas between the Tanayim. Does the mincha at this point in time, after I measure the flour, have kedushas haguf? So the way we're going to line it up now, Rav Yosef Aglili, Rav Yoshia, they say it does have kedushas haguf. Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yonasan say it does not have kedushas haguf. Leiman Ami Rabbi Akiva vechama tamid Rabbi Yishmael amru davar echad umanu Rabbi Yonasan. So why didn't we line up Rabbi Akiva with the student of Rabbi Yishmael? Meaning, we know that Rabbi Akiva says that the midas yavesh is not nimshach. So the Gemara says lo shava b'minas lach la'adadi, because in the world of midas halach, they don't agree with each other, And so, since they don't agree with each other, so he didn't want to put Rabbi Kiva in that camp. But Rabbi Akiva agrees that Midas Yavesh is not Nimshach. The Isaron measuring cup is not Nimshach. Okay, Amalei Rav Papa La Abaye V'Haika Bisa Delachu. So Rav Papa says, extraordinarily technical question, but Rav Papa says, but still it's a question. Okay, good. So the measuring cup of flour according to Rabbi Akiva, and according to Rabbi Yonasan. So according to the two of them, the measuring cup is not a klisharis. It's not Nimshach. Okay, fine. Got that. But what do you do after you measure the flour? Okay, so for those of us who bake, right, or for all of us who bake, so we know, I include myself in that group. So for those of us who bake, so we know that after you measure the flour, then you put it into a bowl. Right, the Gemara calls bowls bisas. Okay, that's the Aramaic word for bowl. So we put it into a bowl, and we're going to mix, and we're going to mix our flour and our water. So yes, the Isaron measuring cup is not Nimshach, but what about the bisa? What about the bowl? The lachu, and the Gemara says the bowls were liquid measuring cups. Okay, you can argue, right, the batter, is it a solid or is it a liquid? Okay, but you can argue it, but the Gemara calls it clearly a midas halach, right, the lachu, and there in the bisa, in the mixing bowl, it's not going to have kedushas aguf. Right, the Gemara said, this is Rav Papa's question. It should. So I'm like a gon, shelash agabe katavlia. So the Gemara says, look, if you're talking about kneading the dough, it doesn't have to be done in a mixing bowl. It could be done on the table, right? Some sort of sheet made out of hide. The point is, it doesn't have to be made in the bowl. You don't have to mix in the bowl. The bowl serves as a tremendous convenience. Flour doesn't go all over the place. But in terms of kneading the dough, you don't need a bowl. So the Gemara says, so once you don't need a bowl, so then you're good to go. Ihachi, dekamalei Rav Yonasan, teidalacha. So the Gemara says, okay, so you don't need a mixing bowl. So the Gemara says, okay, let's go back to Rav Yonasan for just a moment. Rav Yonasan was making his case, you know, the dry measuring cup does not have kedushas, is not a klisharis. And Rav Yonasan says, and how do I know that? Because look at the Shtei HaLechem. It says that after I bake it, it belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So after I bake it, that means, didn't you measure out the flour? And if you measured out the flour, how did it not receive Kedusha Seguf? And Rav Yonasan says, yeah, exactly. It didn't receive Kedusha Seguf because a measuring cup is not Nimshach. That was Rav Yonasan's argument. The Gemara says, now that we're introducing ideas like, you don't need a mixing bowl, right? You could do it without the mixing bowl. So can't you do it without a measuring cup? Now think about that for a moment. You can do it without a measuring cup. That's going to be a neat trick. So why wasn't the response given to Rav Yonasan the following? I measured it, but I didn't use a klisharis. I brought a measuring cup from home. It wasn't tamei, it was tahor. I brought it from home and I used that to measure. The Gemara says, that's pushing it. Hachi hashta. Bishlam abisa lo kas rachman adalav abisa lamelash bay. Look, as far as the mixing bowl is concerned, that's just simply for the purpose of function. Meaning the Torah never says, and you got to mix it in a mixing bowl. Torah never says that. Torah just simply says, you got to knead the flour in the water. That's all. So how I want to knead the flour in the water? Mixing bowl happens to be super convenient. But if I want to mix it without using a mixing bowl, that's fine. However, kilash agabe, I'm sorry, end of the Gemara's point. Kilash la agabe katavli aleslan ba. So you, instead of mixing bowl, you want to use a board, that's fine. That's not a big deal. Eli isaron kevin de rachmana avid isaron vekayo be shabek isaron de kosh vekayo be isaron de chol. But the isaron measuring cup, that's part of the Torah's instructions. The Torah wants us to use an isaron measuring cup. And so therefore, part of the materials of the Beis HaMikdash is an Isaron measuring cup that needs some sort of kedusha. So now what am I going to do? I'm going to not use the Beis HaMikdash Isaron measuring cup and I'm going to use the one from my home. The Gemara says, for lack of better terminology, pasnish. Right? It's inappropriate. It's just not the way to do it. So clearly by the Isaron measuring cup, you're using the one in the Beis HaMikdash. And then we're back to Rav Yonasan's point. So if you're using the one in the Beis HaMikdash, so doesn't the flour receive Kedusha Seguf? And Rav Yonasan's answer is, and Rabbi Kiva's answer is, no, it does not, because the measuring cup is not Nimshach. Period. End of that discussion. Okay, basic machlokas tanayim, really basic, whether or not the measuring cup was nimshach, whether it was anointed.
So this basically, the contention is that they actually used non-clay shard in Beit HaMikdash.
Yeah, right. Correct. Right. And according to Rabbi Kiva, the answer is unequivocally yes. A measuring cup that was non-clay shard. Tanur Rabbanan, we continue in the Gemara. We're going to be jumping around a little bit, skipping in terms of topics. Basic, we're going to all be in the same ballpark, but we're going to be in different parts of the ballpark. Tanur Rabbanan. Minay lamala basar chatos mi b'sar ashem mi b'sar kashik k'dashim umikashim kalam mi mimosar omer mi mimosar she'alechem umalechem apanem mishayir minachos shu b'lo saseg. Something that doesn't go up onto the Mizbeach, you should not put on the Mizbeach. Meaning that if parts of it go on the Mizbeach, the remaining part, what we call the Shirayim, you're prohibited from putting onto the Mizbeach. And the Braisa gives us an assortment of examples, a long assortment of examples. Meat of the Karban Chatas, right? That doesn't go up onto the Mizbeach, that's eaten by the Kohanim. Meat of an Asham. Meat of Kodesh Kadashim. Right, that's tricky, by the way. That's not talking about your carbonola. Your carbonola is totally brought onto the Mizbeach. Right? Can I count on Rashi to say it? Because Rashi says it. Right. Zivchei Shamit Tzibor. The two animals that are offered on Shavuos. Right? Those are Kodesh Kedashim, and those are not going onto the Mizbeach. Kachim Kalim. All your Shlamim. Your leftover of the Karban Omer. Mosar Shtei Alechem, the leftover of the Shtei Alechem, and the Lechem upon him. Now, the Gemara later on will say what? There is no part of the Lechem upon him to go up onto the Mizbeach. So, the Gemara will ask about that in just a moment. Shayare Menachos, leftover of the Menachos, Shehu below Sase. And if you take those portions of a carbon and put it up onto the Mizbeach, you violated a law in the Torah. The Torah says, Ki Kosa Or V'chol Devash, Log taktiru mimenu ishal Hashem. Now, this pasuk, which beginning of Sefer Vayikra Perek Beis, the Torah's prohibition over here is focused really on two things. Number one, seor, any leavened mincha cannot go up onto the mizbeach, right? Mincha has to be matzah, and devash and honey. Here, by the way, just important to realize, honey is not bees honey. Honey over here means date honey. You'll see why that's so important in just a moment. Sir?
The portion of the carbon that gets eaten by the people, that's not cooked on the Mizbeach?
It's not, it doesn't go up onto the Mizbeach, not burnt on the Mizbeach, prepared away from the Mizbeach. So for the meat, for example, that is the meat of the Karban Pesach, right? Never sees the Mizbeach. It's only the blood that gets sprinkled on the Mizbeach, and the Imurim, the innards of those animals that go up onto the Mizbeach, the remaining part of it is taken home, cooked at home. Home, by the way, in the case of Karban Pesach, means Yerushalayim. You can take it out of the temple courtyard, you can't take it out of the walls of Yerushalayim. So you are confined, but you take it anywhere out, anywhere within Yerushalayim and eat it there. So the Torah says... So the main two points of the pasuk is seor and devash, leavened bread and honey. Lo saktiru, do not burn it on the mizbeach. But the key word over here in this pasuk, and the one we're focusing on, is the word mimenu. Mimenu means from it. The Gemara darshins kol shu mimenu leishim harei b'bal taktiru. Anything which a part of it went onto the mizbeach, and I have what I call the shirayim, the leftovers, cannot go on the mizbeach, and if done so, you violate a law in the Torah. The Gemara asked a question which I foreshadowed, right? I prepared you for this question, shtei alechem lechem apanim yeshmeim leishim. What? Two things mentioned in the list were the shtei alechem and the lechem apanim. We don't do kamitza by those menachos. By those menachos, right, the lechem apanim, we don't usually refer to it as a mincha, but clearly it is. The two spoonfuls of Lavona burnt. By the Shtei Alechem, none of the Shtei Alechem goes up onto the Mizbeach. It's totally consumed. So what does that mean, Mimenu? It doesn't have a concept of Shirayim. V'atanya, Yasu Shtei Alechem, Alechem Bapanim, She'en Midam Le'ishim. Right? She'en Mehem Le'ishim. No part of it goes up onto the fire. So I'm Rav Sheshes, Ein Migufo Le'ishim. So Rav Sheshes says, you're right. From it itself, there's nothing goes up onto the fire. That's just a fact. There's nothing to dispute. But there are attachments to it that go up onto the fire. By the lechem upon him, what is the attachment? The two spoonfuls of Lavona. By the shtei halachem, here's a good question.
The two sheep.
Right? What is its attachment?
The two sheep.
The kifsei atzeres, it's the two sheep that are offered. Itmar. Okay, next. Moving along. Hamala mikula magabe akeves. What if I offered up onto the ramp? Question that should sound familiar. We've dealt with this question previously. What status does the ramp have going up to the Mizbeach? Does it have the same status as the Mizbeach or not? Here, Gemara is asking a super legal question. If I take these things which we just learned, you're prohibited to bring up onto the Mizbeach. And if you bring it onto the Mizbeach, you violate a law in the Torah, the negative prohibition of Baal Taktiru, that you are violating the Isser. What if I don't take it as far up onto the Mizbeach? Well, what if I just simply put it on the ramp? Rav Yochanan Amar Chai, Rav Yochanan says, congratulations, you violated a law in the Torah. A ramp has the same status as a Mizbeach. Rav Elazar Amar Patan, Rav Elazar says, no, you are going to be exempt. Aser, for sure, but did not violate an Isser in the Torah. Rav Yochanan Amar Chai, Detanya Mizbeach, En Liel Mizbeach, Keves Minayin, Tamal Amar, Ve'el HaMizbeach, Lo Yalu L'Ratzon. And to the Mizbeach, the ramp, we've used this type of description before when we described the ramp. The ramp is simply a door to the Mizbeach, right? Now, of course, the ramp, you don't open it up and walk in, and it doesn't work that way. But the way to access the Mizbeach is by using the ramp. So we say the El HaMizbeach, and to the Mizbeach, we include in that the ramp. So, or Devarsh Karban Reishis Takrivu Osam. The pasuk says, "The elam is bech lo yalu liratzon." I'm sorry. Soor devash karban reishis tarkivu osam. So, as far as those things are concerned, the ramp is included like the mizbech. But regarding other things, meaning the isra bal taktiru, it's not. The ramp does not have the same status as the mizbech. The top of Nun Ches Amad Alf, the Gemara does, it's classic accounting. What does each one of the Amorim do with the other Pasuk? So what Rabbi Eliezer will do with the word Osam, uses it for, sorry, what Rabbi Yochanan will do with the word Osam, uses it for a different limud. What if a person says, you know what? Shtei alechem on Shavuos? Sounds good. Sounds real good. You know, I'd like to offer the shtei alechem on my own, from my own house, as my own personal karbon, right? Meaning it's precedented, right? They bring the shtei alechem. I'd like to bring the shtei alechem as well. And most v'korei ani ba, and once he makes that declaration, he's now committed himself, and will say, Motzei sfasecha tishmor v'asisa. Good. Now that you made the commitment, you got to keep the commitment. It is only a tzibur, a chovat tzibur. It's not a chovat of an individual. Okay, an individual can bring the shtei alechem arbitrarily because the shtei alechem is fundamentally a chovas atzibur, it's a communal offering. Okay, fine. So how about the community? Meaning the community says, you know, Shavuos, well, Shavuos was great. Let's do Shavuos again. I don't know. I don't know what the motivation was. Let's do it again, and let's offer the shtei alechem again, and we'll use communal money, and there is communal money. And Rashi says, right. Right. It was a long time since last Shavuos. And Rashi says that with the money we're going to use is money from the shofros, from the pushkas that were in the Beit HaMikdash. And usually that money was used to buy olas for the Kates HaMizbeach, for the slow season of the Beit HaMikdash. But you know what? Let's bring the shtei alechem again. Tamalomer Osam. So that's what the Osam is coming to tell me, that no, the shtei alechem can only be brought on Shavuos, and there is no other time that we can bring the shtei alechem. Umay yesh lecha lahavi shtei alechem min ha'seor bikurim u'min ha'dvash u'shtei alechem. I'm sorry. Umay yesh lecha lahavi, and this is the end of the braisa. And what And what is it coming to include? Shtei alachim in asaor, meaning shtei alachim comes from leavened bread, or bikurim in advash, and bikurim comes from the dvash. Okay, period. Okay? So, meaning that even though the Torah has outlined to us, there are two things that you cannot bring up onto the Mizbeach. You can't bring up Seor, you can't bring up leavened mincha up onto the Mizbeach. And you can't bring up Devash onto the Mizbeach. For there are times, however, where they're going to be brought. Notably, the Shtei Alechem, that's Chametz, that's Seor, and Bikurim. Every year we have the new fruits that grow in our backyard, so we got to take the Bikurim, the new fruits, and bring it up to Yerushalayim, and not offer it on the Mizbeach, but place it on the Mizbeach, and then hand it over to the Kohen.
But fruit count as Devash.
So that's the point I made earlier. When we say Devash, Devash means date honey. Right. So Devash is really dates, right. Meaning honey just is a derivative of the date, but when we say Devash, we really mean dates. So you're going to say to me, the Torah in Perek Beis and Vayikra says, right, you can't bring Dvash onto the Mizbeach, and meanwhile, the Torah elsewhere says, but bring your Bikurim up onto the Mizbeach. Okay, so that's exactly the last point of the Braisa. Meaning that for every rule, there's an exception, and there are two exceptions. One exception for Seor, and one exception for Dvash. The exception for Seor is the Shtei Alechem, and the exception for Dvash is going to be your Bikurim.
What do you mean they put on the Mizbeach?
Just wait, just one second. So the Gemara quotes the Braisa, and the Braisa highlights differences between Seor and Devash. Seor hutar michlalo ben mikdash, because when it comes to Seor, there's a heter, meaning Seor is generally prohibited, but one time it's permitted. So or hutter mechlal be mikdash, dvash lo hutter mechlal be mikdash. But dvash never permitted. This is the words of the Braisa. Okay. Now you realize when I say that, what do you mean never permitted? We just said it is permitted. So stay tuned. Dvash hutter b'shayari menachos. So or lo hutter b'shayari menachos. And there's something which is unique to dvash that you don't have by seor, which is that after you bring your mincha, meaning you take your chametz and you offer the chametz up onto the mizbech, so now you're going to sit and you're going to eat your shirayim. So you know when you eat bread, so usually you like to spread something on the bread. Jam or jelly or what have you. You can put devash, you can put date honey on your shirayim, that would be fine. But seor, the isser of seor, not even by the shirayim. Right? Lohut to b'sharim and nechas. So, fine. That is the Braisa. The Braisa just highlights differences between Seor and between Devash. Ham ibnei sheyesh besor mashayim bedvash veyesh bedvash mashayim besor. Hotzrach lomer kol Seor v'hotzrach lomer kol Devash. So that's why the Torah has to go out of its way to identify both Isurim, Seor and Devash, because they are notably different from one another. Okay. So now the Gemara is going to go over. Seor dehutar michlal b'mikdash ma'nihu. So when it says that Seor is hutar michlalo, that there's a heter that at one point in time you could bring Seor, so lav shtei alechem, the karvan nedava. So the Gemara says, what is it talking about? Meaning, you're allowed to bring the shtei alechem. The Gemara says, I don't understand. You're allowed to bring the shtei alechem. Yes, the shtei alechem is leavened. That part's true.
But the Torah tells you that.
But the Torah tells you that. Is it actually go up on the Mizbeach? I mean, do we take the Shtei Alechem? Do we offer it up on the Mizbeach? No. It's brought in conjunction. So the Gemara is bothered by the fact, what do you mean it's Hutar Michlalo? That you have a heter to bring the Shtei Alechem. You don't actually offer it up onto the Mizbeach. But the Gemara answers very simply, Amarev Amram Lo Li Karivim Mahem. The Gemara says, okay, but you're right. The Shtei Alechem is not offered on the Mizbeach, but its attachment is offered onto the Mizbeach. So the Gemara says, Ihachi Bikurim Nami. Oh, so we're talking about attachments? That's what we're talking about? So by Bikurim, who knew this? Well, if you learned your Mishnah Bikurim, you knew it. But if you didn't know your Mishnah Bikurim, you would not know this. It's not mentioned in the Torah. Which is that when you bring Bikurim, So you know the Mishnayos and Bikurim, the beautiful Mishnayos. Describe in detail what happens when you bring your Bikurim. It's a parade. Parade up to Yerushalayim. You bring your basket of new fruit up to Yerushalayim, and it's done with a lot of fanfare. And one of the things is that there's attachments. There are carbon attachments. You bring birds together with your Bikurim, and they're offered up onto the Mizbeach. So, much like the Shtei Alechem, where we're saying that it's attachments, even though the Shtei Alechem is Seor, it's leavened, you're still allowed to bring the attachments, meaning the two sheep, up onto the Mizbeach. The Gemara says, I could give basically the same pshat when it comes to the Bikurim. Because did you know that by Bikurim there's also attachments? There are going to be birds that are brought in conjunction with the Bikurim. And they're offered up onto the Mizbeach, even though your Bikurim, you know what you're bringing as part of your Bikurim? Devash. You're bringing dates.
They're already attached, or they're just additional.
Oh, okay, good. Did now we learned in the Mishnah. Ha goz alosh al gabe hasalin hayu olos. There were goz alos, they were actually birds that were placed on top of the baskets, and they were brought as olos. The hasalim should be adam, and he told them the kohanim, and the baskets were actually given to the kohanim. So the Gemara says, okay, good. So the same point you made by the Shtei Alechem is the same point that we could be making by the Bikurim, by the Devash of the Bikurim. And so what? Meaning, is that the end of the world? It's not the end of the world, but it doesn't fit in with the words of the Braisa. Because the Braisa says, you have a special heter when it comes to the Shtei Alechem, because you, even though the Shtei Alechem is Seor, you can still bring the attachment up onto the Mizbeach, but no such heter exists when it comes to Bikurim. And the Gemara is now bothered. What do you mean no such heter? You're bringing the goz alos, you're bringing the birds, aren't they attachments to the Bikurim? And the Gemara is going to answer basically what Ben said, which is, they're not really attachments. Hanu la'ater Bikurim hu da'asu. Atara. They're just the crown of the Bikurim. Meaning there is, the Torah never tells you that when you bring Bikurim, you have to bring birds along with it. They're just simply atara. They're just simply a crown to the Bikurim. It's a, if you will, zekeli vanveu. It's a way of beautifying the mitzvah. But in terms of the actual requirement to bring birds together with your Bikurim, that's not an actual requirement. The Torah does not make such an attachment. Okay, good. Okay? Almost done. Hopefully today we'll catch up. If you want to take a little cheat and look in the Amud Beis, you'll see it's a short Amud Beis. So, we said that if anything that has a portion of it brought up onto the Mizbeach, the Shirayim, the leftover, you're not allowed to put up onto the Mizbeach, and there's an Isser of Baal Taktiru. You're not allowed to burn the remainder of the Mizbeach. So the Gemara says, okay, now I'm going to ask you a question, and it's a real good one. There's something called a Chatas Ha'of. There's an Of bird offering, which is offered at times as a Chatas. Right? A woman who just gave birth will bring the Chatas Ha'of. And the Chatas Ha'of is a very interesting carbon. Because unlike other Chataos, part of the animal is offered up onto the Mizbeach. When it comes to the Chatas Ha'of, none of the bird is brought up onto the Mizbeach. What you do is you do Malika to the bird, right? Snap the neck with your fingernail, take some of the blood and sprinkle onto the Mizbeach, and then the rest of the bird is eaten by the Kohanim. So none of the bird goes up onto the Mizbeach. Is there an Isser of Baal Taktiru when it comes to the Chatas Ha'of? Because we've identified the Isser as really a function of Shirayim. Right? It needs to have part of it go onto the Mizbeach, and the rest can't go on the Mizbeach. But when it comes to the Chatas Ha'of, you don't have that. You don't have part of it going on the Mizbeach. None of it goes on the Mizbeach. That's one way to look at it. The other way to look at it, and the simpler way to look at it, it's a carbon. And maybe it should follow the basic rules of carbon. Meaning that if the Torah does not tell us to put it on the Mizbeach, you're not allowed to. So the Gemara expresses this question. Let's see the question inside. No part of it goes up onto the Mizbeach and is burnt on the fire. Or no, it's a carbon, and it should follow the rules of carbon. Amalei kol shemo carbon, v'hainami shemo carbon. So the Gemara's answer is, the answer is very straightforward. It's a carbon. And the Torah tells you not to put it up on the Mizbech, it doesn't go up onto the Mizbech. And you're not allowed to put it on the Mizbech, and if you do so, you violate the Isra Baal Taktiro. Kitanai, the Gemara points out, this seems to be subject to a machlokas tanaim. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Kol Shemimeno Lishim, Rabbi Kiva Omer Kol Shemo Karbon. Rabbi Kiva says, as long as it has a designation of carbon, and it's not supposed to be burnt on the Mizbech, you're not allowed to. My Beinal Amar Chista Basar Chatzos Halfika Menau. The Gemara points out that the machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Kiva is exactly what we're discussing. The Chatzos Of, no part of the Chatzos Of is actually burnt onto the on the fire. So I might have thought, let's say it better. According to Rabbi Eliezer, there's no Isser to actually burn the Chatzos Of on the fire. Okay, because it doesn't qualify as Mimenu. According to Rabbi Kiva, no, it's a carbon, and therefore, and the Torah does not instruct us to burn on the fire, therefore you're not allowed to burn on the fire. Rav Amar, Chista Basar Chatzos Halfika Menau. Rav Amar Lok Shemesh HaMetzor Yikavainau. Another nafka mina, another practical difference would be like this. What about the jug, the Lok Shemen that's brought by the Metzorah? Now, the Lok Shemen that's brought by the Metzorah, some of it's applied to the actual Metzorah himself. Right, on the thumb, on his toe, on his earlobe. Right, the Torah instructs that some of it is poured some of it is applied to the Mitzvah himself. The rest of it goes to the Kohanim, eaten by the Kohanim. So there as well, there is no part that goes up onto the Mizbeach. So maybe there's no Isser of Baal Taktiru. Same story. According to Rabbi Eliezer, that'd be true. That's a correct statement. According to Rabbi Akiva, it's a carbon. And once it's a carbon, and once that is the shame carbon, so therefore there's an issur of Baal Taktiru. Did ni levi kol carbon on the rabbis lok shem shel metzara? Okay, and to finish up for today, Tana Rabbanan. So,
I'm sorry, just one question. Both Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva say that it is possible to send it.
There's an issur in the Torah of Baal Taktiru.
Right.
When the Torah defines the issur for us, it says mimenu, which means that in order for there to be an issur, there has to be two components. One part that goes on to the Mizbech, one part that's not allowed to go on the Mizbech. And the Gemara says you have these types of karbanos where you don't have a part going up onto the Mizbech, and so consequently maybe there's no Isser, there's no prohibition of Baal Taktiru. The Gemara gave two examples for that. One example is the Chatzos Of, right, where there's no part of it goes on the Mizbech. Rabbi Kiva's position, which is the accepted position, is there's still an Isser of Baal Taktiru, even though no part of it went on the Mizbech. And the other example is Log Shemen.
Right.
Right, same story. No part of it goes up onto the Mizbech, so maybe there's no Isser of Baal Taktiru. And again, Rabbi Kiva says there's still going to be an Isser of Baal Taktiru.
Rabbi Eliezer said no, it can still go. Rabbi Eliezer.
Those, huh?
And Rabbi Eliezer said that it can still go.
And Rabbi Eliezer said, yeah, you would say, presumably he would say you'd be allowed to. Okay. Tanu Rabbanan, finishing up. So or Baal Taktiru Ein Li Ela Kula Miksaso Minayin. By the leavened product, so the Torah says you can't burn it up onto the Mizbeach. How about a little bit? How about just a little bit? I'll explain better. Minayin Tamalomar Kol. Okay, so the Torah says any amount. Eiruva Minayin. How about if there's a Tarovis, a mixture of leavened and unleavened? Tamalomar Ki Kol. Okay. My Kamra Amar Abai. So the Gemara basically says, what's going on here? what's the discussion? So Amar Abai Hachi Kamra Star Baal Taktiru Ein Li Ela Kezayis Chatzi Zayis Minayin. Okay, good. A full Kezayis you're not allowed to offer. How about half the Kezayis? Tamalomer Kol. That's what the Torah says. Kol Eruva Minayin. How about Tarovis? So Tamalomer Ki Kol. Okay. So that is the pshat of Abai. Rava offers a slightly different pshat. How about a half a comet? Tamalomar kol the word kol eruvo. What about tarov? It's a mixture of leavened and unleavened. Minai tamalomar ki kol. But my kamifligi, the Gemara says, can you explain this a little bit better? What are we arguing about? So the Gemara says, and we've seen this argument before a number of times. How much does the average Kohen hold in his hand when he's holding the kamitza? Abaye Savayesh Kamatz Pachos Mishne Zesim. A kamitza can hold even less than two zesim, two olive volumes. Meaning, I know there's a, we all know there's a discussion about the size of olives and what exactly they are, but if you could just think about an average olive size for just a moment, you could fit two of them into your hand. I know there are big olives and small olives, I understand that, but I'm just saying, just for visual purposes, right? We can all imagine holding two olives in our fist, even with thumb and pinky out. Okay? So there is a kmitza that holds even less than two zeisim. The yesh haktara pchusa mikazayis. So that means that haktara could be done even less than with less than a kazayis. Rava amar ain komitz pachus mishnei zeisim. And Rava says no. A komitz by definition is not less than two zeisim. Vein haktara and the iser haktara is pchusa mikazayis, not less than a kazayis. So the Gemara says that the machlokus between Abai and Rav, it seems to be a machlokus in Metzia, it seems to be, how much are you holding in your fist when you're actually doing the kmitza? Based on that, machlokus in terms of what the Isser of the Torah says, when it says even part of that. Okay? That seems to be the basic machlokus between Abai and Rav. We've spoken about this machlokus previously. Okay, I know Gemara kind of wandered off into the world of Seor and Davash, exceptions to Seor and Davash, but pretty much we're done. A little bit more to go. We'll finish up over here this little piece, right? Lav Shebechlalos. We'll talk tomorrow about Lav Shebechlalos. And then tomorrow we start with Nuntes, and we continue in Menachos. A lot of the practical. We're talking about Menachos. A lot of the hands-on, how to actually offer a mincha, coming up over the course of the next bit of Gemara.